There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, where we go, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And the Mallory Piping text line open for you at 343-0106. Same digits for a phone call, 343-0106. And you can always leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Just hit that microphone icon right there on the front page. Lets you record a message and emails it to us as well. By the way, self-serving here, and my buddy Cam Marston's in studio. Self-serving, as I've been talking about the president's commentary on prescription drug prices. I did watch Nordisk, the Ozempic maker. They're up 2.51% today. Just saying. Just looking at, you know, what the stocks are. There's a mercenary nature to me as well when I look at these stories. I'm like, okay, well, you make some money.
Yeah, good for you. I have to say, it's wonderful to be back in here. It's been a long while, Sean, since I was sitting across
from you. You like what I've done with the place?
Oh, yeah. You cleaned it up a little bit. All the lights work now. Yeah. This is great.
It's good stuff.
But it's been a while. I'm delighted to be back here to see you again. I've missed this. I really have. I've missed creating the What's Working show for you over the past many months. And I felt my pulse increased on the drive in going, oh, I recognize this feeling. This is nerves, and I kind of like it.
Well, that's a side story, and I don't think I've ever talked about it on the air, but I've talked about it with people. I was talking about it with my daughter the other day for college stuff. I said, you know, your daddy's still at 11 o'clock every day, and you can ask people to work with me here that I need to be left alone because I get nerves. I've been doing this 30 years.
Yeah.
But that, I think, and I told her, I said, because that feeling's called I give a damn.
I care.
That's what that is. It's I give a damn.
I was being introduced for a speech last week in Atlanta for Georgia Power, and I was sitting there going, well, how can I be nervous about this?
Now, how many speeches do you think you've done?
We've counted them. It's like well over 1,200 now in the past 20-something years.
See, and I've watched you speak before, and you're fantastic. But that would make me, when I go, that really gets me nerves-wise when I speak to a group or whatever. That gets me big time.
Yeah, I still, just like you said, I feel nervous. Because I care. I want it to go well. I want it to be impactful for the people who I'm presenting this thing to. And, you know, it's go time. It's show time and it's go time, and you got to be ready for the performance. And that's what I felt as I was heading on into your studio here at it always makes me sit up straighter, as you can see right now.
Yes,
because
right. Your posture is great. My mother would be proud.
No one's looking at me, but I can feel it.
You know, I think about this too, and I've thought about you in the months here with so many business people you talk to on your show and things that come up, whether it be, I mean, today we're talking about prescription prices, but the tariffs and all that, and the reaction from the people that you, I mean, you speak to and friends with so many local business folks, but nationally, you know, so many people, and speak to groups out there, kind of like just what's the barometer saying when you talk to these people?
You mean about the economy in the world today?
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had a better answer for you, but the word that I consistently hear again right now, and I heard it in 2020 through 2022, the word is uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. We're uncertain. And I think the tariff change again today just accentuates that. What is it going to be? What is it not going to be? When is it going to change again? How quickly is it going to change? People are uncertain. They don't know what to expect. And you know, I'm no sage economist, but I feel that in my own business right now. Cam, we don't know whether we should spend money on you or not because we don't know what's about to happen. So uncertainty leads the day. I was just with a group of boat manufacturers. All the sport fishing boats, Sean, that you and I grew up loving, were collected at the Broadmoor Hotel in Colorado Springs. And they're talking about sales projections and things of that nature. And they're all saying, we don't know what to do. Inventory's building up. But one guy took his inventory of pontoon boats, a huge inventory of pontoon boats, and rushed them from Indiana into Canada and bought land in Canada so they wouldn't have to pay tariffs on these boats. They got them into Canada over the border before the tariffs and all the lake boats.
Because I guess there's a big market up there.
Oh, yeah, for these pontoon boats in the lakes. And then they rescinded the tariffs on the Canadian stuff. And he's like, oh, my God, we just hired a fleet of 18-wheelers to get these boats up there and bought land at the nearest place over the border. And now we realize it was unnecessary. So. Yeah, uncertainty is the name of the game.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, and business loves certainty or knows what the rules are. But I think there's opportunities. And maybe it's because I have a little bit more of a, what, the riverboat gambler. You've watched me over the years that I like to zig when everybody zags and those kind of things. Doesn't always make you seem like a champion, but once in a while it does. But there are opportunities in uncertainty, too. That could have been the move for that guy if this tariffs had stayed in place. It would have made him seem like a genius.
It would have been the move. It made him seem like a genius. But now he's on his heels about any decision. Because
once bitten, twice shy.
Right. Now he's like, they say this, but let's sit tight here. We're not going to hire. We're not going to open another manufacturing line. We're not going to get the new fabrication machine that we've talked about for these pontoon boats. We're not going to buy in. On the aluminum that they get from somewhere overseas. Let's just sit and wait. So his move stung him, and now he's on his heels. And that's one manufacturer. There were 60-some-odd manufacturers in this room in the Broadmoor. And they're all going, we're just going to wait. Now, boating is a luxury. I can't speak to what other companies are doing.
Unless you're from around here, it's a necessity, but
Georgia Power was saying, I was talking to the CEO of Georgia Power last week at the event. She said, no, the tariffs aren't really impacting us. We do have equipment we buy from overseas, but really it's such a minimal thing that it's not, that we are not experiencing the same uncertainty there. So I guess the answer is it varies, but the ones that I've spoken to are a little bit more hesitant. And you're right. You're right. You can bet on this if you wish. Is it the wise move for a responsible CEO of, let's say, employs this boating company, employs 500 people, to bet wildly?
Yeah, it depends on how big you are, I think. Yeah. How much is at risk? It's sometimes, I think, an opportunity for smaller players.
To
be more nimble and make something of it. But yeah, it is a risk.
Yeah.
It's a big risk out there. And I think the more deeper your roots are and the bigger a company is, the less apt you are to risk.
Yeah, the shareholders are going to come bite you in the tail if you're a publicly traded company and you miss.
Right.
Right. If you bet and win, shareholders think you're brilliant. You're going to get a raise. Yeah. If you bet and lose,
time to find a new job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and we'll come back to that. I want to talk about, you get an event coming up here at home, too, that is, you forever, since we first started talking about leadership and crossing barriers. It was like epiphany moments when you talked about this generation talking to that generation and how a leader who is from, our generation, probably probably seen as we're smallest, but we're also the most implacable generation left out there. Right?
Yeah.
That we were there at the handoff. We understand technology, but we came from a time when they just, free ranged us as children.
Yes.
Did those things. I mean, the stuff that comes up with, like, somebody goes, I need to be, I need to feel like I'm appreciated. We didn't have that.
No.
Right.
I like,
but
to
we
say
also understand technology. We're not going, I can't email, I mean,
we can figure out the technology when forced to do it. You and I can figure it out. It continues to advance. But we also drank directly from the fire hose in the summer.
Yeah. Hose water.
And I know the taste of hose water. Warm hose water.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, you've got to imagine how smart we would be had we not done that. But, the impacts that it's had on our brain.
There has to be a governor on every very high-speed engine.
So. Yeah, yeah. So,
But what you told me back then, we sit there and talk about, okay, well, we're Generation X and this, that, and the other. But you know what? If I'm in a business and I'm in a leadership role and I'm managing people that aren't in that generation, I better know how to speak to them.
So let me give you, and you're touching on what we've got coming up. I had a conversation again, Georgia Power last week. This young guy comes up to me and says, hey, and young now is relative. I've got this new guy.
We're young still,
he's
right?
been in the job. And this is, I've heard this 50, 60 times now. I got a new guy, young, in the workplace for a year, and he wants a promotion, a bonus, and a raise. He wants to now lead and manage people. He's been here a year. He's just barely competent in his job. And he has threatened to quit. He's good, but he's threatened to quit unless he gets into a management position. What do I say? That that is a very typical story, and it goes back to what I've created here, what you see spread out in front of me. Mm-hmm. We, about 18 months, maybe 2 years ago, a guy came up to me and said, Cam, we love your content, but how do we go deeper? We want to know about it. We want to know what you know, but we want to practice it and learn it. And so we created what's called the Generational Insights Communications Academy. It's a 2.5-day deep dive into communications in the workplace. So we talk about intergenerational, older talking to younger, younger to talking to older. We talk about how to listen, what's the true motivation behind what someone says. We talk about, and I'm not familiar with anybody that teaches this, but perhaps I'm just not aware of it. How do I ask a question? How do I ask you a question that makes you want to take the lead on something? It's not telling you. It's asking you something that makes you want to be responsible for the outcome of it. So we practice asking questions. And throughout the course of the event, people are going to practice this thing at minimum of 11 different times in many different ways. And again, we put them through the paces for 2.5 days. It's meant for managers, people on the rise within their workplace. It's meant for salespeople. And they come through. And I hesitate to say put them through the grind, but we really ask them to participate thoroughly and work and prepare and learn, and they come out changed. This is the easiest way to say it. Changed and eager to go back into their workplace. And I mean, I'm very, very proud of this thing.
The in-depth here, is it to a point where you're talking about the 11 different times that the person will, because you know what, repetitive things are good for memorization.
Sure.
Is it, I mean, it's is it this that, touchy certainly. Feely thing, or is there some takeaways like if A happens, then I do B, and then if C, then here's D?
It's like, not a formula like that, as easy as that. Now, there is some formula that we teach. One of the components of the course is you're going to have to learn to speak. And that does not mean to an audience, though we will practice that. It means one-to-one. And a great portion of the persuasion that you try to persuade people with, a great portion of your persuasion is done not in the words that you choose, but in the way you frame the words and what you do with your body while you're delivering them. So most of us spend a lot of time selecting the words, and that mm-hmm. makes sense. It's what we've been taught. Get your words right. However, once you understand the power of the delivery of the words and what your face and your hands and your eyes are doing while you deliver the words, that's where your influence and your power comes from. And what we do is we break that down. I want to show you how this works. Let's try this exercise. Try it the bad way. Try it the good way. And we get people to do it. And once they see the value in that, and this happens again, the course is limited to 14 people. It's very small. Once they begin to see the value in that and begin to work with it amongst their peers and colleagues, they begin to see their efficacy in what they're doing rise. And one of the key things of this thing is, one of the first things I do in that course is teach everybody else what we're going for so that they can teach it. They can coach each other along the way.
Okay.
How did she do? How did he do? This is what I think as the leader of the course. However, I'm one of 15 voices in the room. What did you all think about what she just did? How did that sound? So the sooner I can get people good, the better they can be in coaching one another, which means during the course, they're participating and delivering content and asking questions and writing and things like that, but they're also participating on giving each other feedback. And suddenly, everybody's on the hook all the time for learning and delivering content.
Okay, we're coming right back with Cam Marshall. We're talking about getting into this course, whether it be for you or somebody that works at your company, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, back to our conversation with Cam Marston. Okay, the event's coming up when?
June 11th through 13th, downtown Mobile at the Hampton Inn. We'd love to have you.
Okay.
Class size limited to 14. You're going to get a lot of attention and a lot of training.
That's the smallest classroom size in the state of Alabama.
It may be. There's nowhere to hide when there's only 14 people in the room.
But who, obviously, people can go. You talk about salespeople. people in leadership positions.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that you can say, if you're running a company and you have, if everybody's not Generation X or
right.
whatever, this is for you.
This is for people who feel stymied perhaps in their career. I'm capable of more. What am I missing? Well, let's work on your communication skills. This is for people who are stepping in to lead. And what we've seen thus far is that many of the executives are sending their people, hey, mm-hmm. my person so-and-so needs to come to this because they're about to take on a position of leadership. And I need to make sure their skills are as sharp as they can be as they now begin to lead and manage other people. So it's for salespeople, certainly can benefit, but it's the course curriculum is for mid to senior level managers who have a leadership, lead a team.
All right. Question, where do they sign up?
CamMarston.com/GICA. CamMarston.com/GICA, the Generational Insights Communications Academy. You can go CamMarston.com. If you can't find it, email me, and I will drive you to that page.
Yeah, so if they can get to CamMarston.com, they can get the info.
They can get all the way there.
You handed me a sheet here during the break. Wow.
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah, so, y'all, I'm looking at this graphic here.
I'll send you the PDF of that for you to put on your thingamajiggy.
Yeah, we'll put this up on Facebook. 12th graders who say they go out with friends 2+ times a week. All right, 12th graders, seniors.
Seniors.
Going out with your friends. And precipitous drop from 66-year-old that is one edge of this down to 20-year-olds. You do point out the iPhone debut in 2007.
2007, and we see it begin to see the thing drop. And the point of that is if you're hiring people born, quote unquote young, their communication skills through no fault of their own has likely been stymied by the world that we, you and me, have created for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they enter our workplace, and you and I, Sean, at Generation Xers, are expecting a communication capability similar to our own. They simply have not had these experiences. And it's not their fault. It's just the way of the world. Therefore, for me to be able to communicate most effectively with a younger workforce, I need to know more about them and be able to relate to them better. And that's kind of one of the things that we talk about in this course. What do your employees need from you in terms of face-to-face, written, interpersonal, as well as how do we ask them questions that make them want to take responsibility for their own future rather than being told what to do?
Well, and that's right. Somebody can sit and say, well, the way we did it, okay,
yes.
Well, or you sit on your laurels and not be successful, or you can be successful.
Right, right. And another component to add into this is AI. And I'm fascinated with this stuff. I'm using it in my work. It's really, really remarkable. However, it will not replace me looking at you and talking to you and trying to persuade you to do something. It will not replace human interaction. And it's going to do a lot of cool stuff, but it will not replace that. And I want to make sure the people that come through my course are equipped through the one-to-one stuff, because I think that's where persuasion and motivation will continue to happen. I heard you mention Alexander the Great. It happened then. Mm-hmm. It will happen well into the future.
Yeah, you let me nerd out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know where he fought in his army? At the front of his army.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he led. It's called leadership, not pushership.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The people I've seen through history, the people I've experienced in my life that everybody will drop everything to go follow them, they lead from the front. They're doing things, they're communicating, they're getting buy-in from people versus it's all carrot, you know, it's not stick.
It's witnessing the behavior of your leader
mm-hmm.
and wanting to emulate that and
mm-hmm.
following him or her. I agree. And it's about, and I keep going back to this. This is the core of what we teach. It's about the ability to communicate well.
Yeah. And being able to speak that dialect that reflects a 20-year-old who doesn't go out with friends as a 12th grader like those of us that are, you know, our 50s or 60s did.
You would be surprised when I show this slide. I showed it at Georgia Power. When I show the slide and I say, what are the implications of this? And the people come back and say, well, this is an inability to manage conflict. It's an inability to plan. It's an inability to find common ground, to begin conversations. And you'd be surprised at the number of people that say, boy, that means to me, it shows an inability to get away from the cops.
We refined that quite well.
And I thought, you know, you got a point there.
A lot
you got
to be a point. Said for that. Once yeah. again, because people are asking, the just
CamMarston.com/GICA or call me or email me, cam@CamMarston.com. I'll take you there. I'll get you to the information you need.
Great stuff, man. Good to see you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, my friend.
And come back and see us soon.
Yeah, please.
All right. There he is, Cam Marston. And we'll put this information up on our Facebook page as well and link you through. All right. Be right back.